Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Fungula. This is probably our longest episode we've done, right, Danielle? Is
it? The Shane one was long, but this
This is probably
number two.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty long one, but it's a therapy session, you guys. We have a therapy session. It's Manny's birthday, so it starts off talking what's Manny grateful for, mad about for this past year. And then we're like, wait a minute, it's Danielle's birthday too. And then it becomes a therapy session for Danielle, and we get into it. Are there tears? Yes. Are there some laughs? Yes. Are there some arguments? Of course, it's a me and Manny episode. JK, babe. But not JK. roll back the tape. Just kidding. So thank you for tuning in. And don't forget to like and subscribe. Go ahead and push pause. If you haven't already done this, push pause. Go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Tell everybody your favorite episode, what episode people should listen to first, why you love this podcast, and then go subscribe to us on YouTube and do all the things. Share this podcast with all your friends and family. And don't forget, I'm on tour, angela.com. Get tickets when I'm in a city near you. And you can also get my merch ahead of time. If you're coming to a show, you can get my merch on angela.com as well. And if you want to be a part of this podcast and share with us something that you are grateful for or something that makes you mad, your mattitude, or you need advice, you just have a question, you're like, hey, what should I do about this? You can call us or email us. Danielle, give them that information.
Yeah, so call us at 747-300-5380, or you can email us at fungulapodcast@gmail.com. Or while you're looking up Angela's tour dates on her website, there's also a form there that you can fill out and submit your mattitude, gratitude, and or advice question.
Boom! Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy this therapy session with me, my husband Manny, and Danielle. Welcome back to Fungula, lover. This is you could say thank you
for having me. Oh, I was thinking welcome back, and I'm like, I live here.
To my podcast.
Yes. Thank you for having me back, host.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime you need to promote something, please feel free.
Speaking of promote, I had this girl hit me up on this lady hit me up on Instagram.
What's her name? Just kidding.
She asked me like a general question that I thought she was asking me like what I generally think of stuff. And she was like, what do you think of people who like, you know, post online things that they have and when they're wealthy and when, you know, there's so many people that don't have anything. And I was like, well, you know, I think if you do this and if you do that, you know, you got to question where you're at with the right. So I gave her an answer.
But she was just talking about you.
She was talking about me, and she took she took all the yous as I was talking to her. And she was like, why? You know, because I was like, and I think you got to do a lot of self-work if all you're doing is, if you're angry at people who have more than you and you feel the need to comment to them. And she goes, well, I think you need to do a lot more self-work. And I was like, oh, wait. I thought you were asking me a general question and I was giving you a general answers. The yous didn't mean you. They just meant you, the proverbial you. And she just went and back down. So I was like, oh my God, you're so bad. I was like, well, if you're mad, like, I'm sorry. And I don't even know what post you're talking about because I'm only posting Rosie. I did one car post and I don't know. It was so dumb.
Maybe your real estate stuff?
Nah. Everybody loves my real estate stuff. It's all like encouraging. Like you could do it, you know, buy real estate. It's not like I'm buying houses for us to live in.
Was she Christian? You know how sometimes Christians get mad when you talk about
so dumb stuff. Yeah, I don't even know what post she was talking about. Because literally that one car post that I did is the only thing that she could ever. And the other lady that did say no, read the room on that post. And I was like, I don't read rooms. I read T.D. Jakes books. I read my wife's.
Now I want to know what post this is, because I'm sure you probably did say something that was not like. I didn't say
anything. I posted of my 9/11, the Targa, and all I did was do like a cut of it backing out of the garage, taking off the top. Uh-huh. And it was just so that I can put music behind something.
Oh, right.
And I saw a car influencer do it. Uh-huh. So I was like, oh, I have a car. I can do this. The top comes off. Sure, this will be another piece of content.
Read the room?
And she goes, read the room. And I was like, what room? And she's read just like, whatever, people, you know, LA's burning. And I was just like, ma'am, I don't read anything. I just read books. I read my daughter potty books, and I read this. That's what I just love her.
I see what you're saying. So it's like, if you're not going to comment on something that, you know, is important to us and who's us, that's dumb. You post what you want to post about on your stuff.
Yeah.
And let people post what they want to post about.
And most of my stuff has been inspo, so I don't really know. But anyways, it's whatever.
Well,
that's not even my mattitude. That's my annoyance.
That's a mattitude.
Sure, but that's my real mattitude is that I'm still the city of Nashville and not letting me build my duplex. That's my real mattitude. I'm so mad about it. This year, that's been the downer. Because it made me redesign.
Talking about things that you have. Just kidding.
It made me redesign the ceiling. You know, it's like a 7-foot ceiling for the top. Like, I was so stoked about. I was already scared about, you know, the area still turning over. There's no yard, which I don't think people care if they do downtown living, you know.
As long as there's a strip to take. If you're in downtown living, I don't think.
Yeah, as long as there's a strip to take your dog.
And if you don't have a family or a dog.
Yeah. So I was so stoked. And then when they made me bring the roof down, I'm the only one they're forcing to follow these rules.
You're the only one.
Yeah, because all around me, there's just 3-story monstrosities, way taller than mine.
They changed the rules.
They changed
the rules. Well, because they saw these 3-story monstrosities and were like, ugh, new rules.
Well, they're trying to save affordable housing, but there's only like 4 buildings left to get remodeled in that area. Mm-hmm. The entire neighborhood is redone.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that screwed me was my first builder stole from me. Mm-hmm. So he wasted 1.5 years of my build. Mm-hmm. He didn't apply for any of the permits that he said he was. So I basically just wasted 1.5 years.
Annoying.
And that was, not only did I lose a lot of money, but he didn't get anything done. If he didn't do that and he would apply for the permits, I wouldn't have to be applying for permits now.
Dumb.
So what should have taken 1 year to build, I'm on 3 years.
Is he still...
No, he filed bankruptcy and he's gone. Stole everybody. Wow. He stole a lot of people's money.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That sucks. All right. So that's your mattitude.
So mad.
Well, I haven't said yet that this is supposed to be your birthday episode. We just jumped right in. But this is supposed to be like your birthday's coming up in a few days. So I wanted to do mattitudes and gratitudes of like this past year for your life turning a new year. So this past year... Mattitude is you haven't been able to build your duplex.
Yes.
Give me a past year gratitude, reflecting on this past year of your life as you're about to turn. Wait, I'm 43, so 45. You're going to be 45. Mm-hmm. That's a good mid number.
A gratitude would be there's so many gratitudes. But if I'm pertaining to me specifically, because it's my birthday.
It's your birthday. Exactly.
I'm kind of grateful for this. This curve of this carnivore that I did, carnivore diet.
Oh, wow.
I dropped like 20 pounds. Like I'm hovering between 180, 183 now, which is wild, you know?
From carnivore.
Just from carnivore.
I still don't understand it. I don't want you to explain the science of it to me, but I just still don't understand it.
It's not a science. It's just basically a crazy keto.
Not eating vegetables.
It's just a crazy keto. You understand keto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all it is. It's just an insane version of keto.
But aren't you doing keto?
I'm doing keto carnivore? Now because I did carnivore straight for 3 months.
Oh, okay.
And then I started adding back in after the 3 months. I'm adding in to see what my body likes, doesn't like, mm-hmm. which really is just whole foods. My only cheats are if I'm at the movie theater and I have a burger, I keep the bottom bun on so that the burger isn't all over my lap. And then like desserts.
You get a burger at the movies?
Mm-hmm. I order it. Like I'll go to wherever, put it in my Louis bag, and then bring it into the movies. Or if I'm shopping, like yesterday I was shopping, so I got burgers and put it underneath the t-shirts and all the stuff that I bought you. And then I just bring it into the movie.
Did your
shirts
smell like burgers?
No, no, no. I layer it on top with napkins. So that
so the steam doesn't let
nothing,
out smell.
Nothing touches the,
That's funny.
Yeah. So, but my only, I save my cheats for.
I wonder if movie theaters would get more people coming in if you could bring your own food and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they usually, the problem with this one is they don't have the Royal Brie bacon burger. Nashville does. These people don't. So that's my go-to. If they had it, I would freaking eat that. But.
Who? What movie theater are you going to?
In Nashville, the Thoroughbred, they have Royal Bacon Brie, which is brie, like fig jam, bacon.
At the movie theater?
Yeah. Banging.
I will say, I think they really, I only go to AMCs mostly, shout out A-List, and I don't think they really care if you, I've fully walked in with like a bag of Shake Shack. The only time they stop me is if they see my drink. Like,
really?
Because they don't want you to bring in alcohol.
Oh.
Maybe I should try that. I mean, there was a time that I accidentally had a drink in my hand and they didn't say anything. Regal, though. Regal is not the same. I think they do care. I think they do care. Mm. Either way, I just hide it just so that they don't ruin my movie experience.
Because you can even bring in your own food and drinks to Disneyland.
Yeah, you can.
Can you really?
If Disneyland lets you bring in your own food and drinks, come on.
Then so can AMC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a thrill in it when I sneak it in.
You feel like you're being bad.
Yeah.
Stupid.
But I'm super grateful for carnivore because I'm able to fit into all my stuff.
And you bring LaCroix too, so you're the guy that goes...
Yep,
in a movie theater.
I wait till it's loud.
Yeah, they hate that.
I wait till it's loud. I don't just do it while it's quiet.
But then there's like the Studio Movie Girls, which I love those. I grew up going to those.
The what?
Studio Movie Girls.
What is that?
SMGs. It's literally you sit down and you have like a server.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We have those. There's this young couple that was in front of me and he had two big bottles and he had these big old baggy jeans and two big water bottles.
Sir.
And he stuck them in his pocket and they were all like giggling. I was like, I get it. I get it. I know what you
That's
feel.
Fun.
So
I've told people this hack before that my dad does, but I'll say it again. If you get an extra large popcorn, you get free refills. So my dad will get an extra large popcorn from every movie theater. Edwards, AMC, whatever else there is, and he will save the bag and put it on the side of his microwave. So whatever movie theater he's going to that day, he'll just bring his
that can't be sanitary
extra large
because there's no washing
popcorn
those.
Bag and refill it up for free every time he gets there. Nah, I mean, that's his hack since years.
That's how that's smart.
It. Yeah, very
I mean,
smart. Very
it's not
frugal.
Sanitary, but it's smart.
Yeah, who cares? Sanitary, schmanitary at that point. Popcorn. It's movie popcorn.
I'm pretty sure,
killing you.
And I think this was like a pre-COVID thing. I'm fairly certain AMC, because I had the AMC A-List or whatever, but I'm pretty sure their buckets had a sticker on it, and it was like you had to give them the sticker. They kind of had a system, I think. I don't know if that still exists. I feel like it's not a thing anymore, but I feel like they had a
because
system.
Because my dad
probably,
inspired them.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so you're back to your gratitude. Sorry.
Yeah, my carnivore, because it's improved my health drastically.
What else has it improved? You said you lost weight, but what else has it improved?
My health, like overall, like all my numbers are good. Well,
your inflammation, you said.
Yeah, my inflammation, the sugar, you know, when you look better, you feel better. So it's just, I like fitting into all my old clothes that I thought I had to get rid of, you know? So I just feel. I feel good, and I can still do my cheats as long as just like 90% of my diet is what it is.
Yeah.
I am grateful. Okay, here's my one vain thing. If you're not a car person, I got my new cars this year. Mm-hmm. Super grateful. I've always wanted an R8 and this Mercedes, and I freaking love them. And I ventured away from, you know, Porsche for my main cars, but I'm having a blast with these two cars. So if you're not a car person, I'll just skip over that. So those have been super fun. And then...
How long have cars brought you joy? Because I remember you telling me stories of when you were young and you had your first car that was like a beat up hoop-de-doo, but you would still wash it like every day.
My dad's Monte Carlo. It literally had... The paint job was literally like primer, just... It doesn't even shine. Mm-hmm. Neither did the wheels. The wheels didn't shine. They were so old. You would put the shiner on and it would just suck it up. And it would be dry. There was something in me that was like, all right, you know, I remember that verse where it's like, if you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. And so
That's nice.
I just took care of everything. It didn't even have a radio in it. Like, it just had an empty spot where the radio goes. Aww. And all my dad's tools were in there.
Oh,
I thought I was so cool because it had power windows. I was like, yeah. The inside was brown checkered and the outside was black primer. It wasn't even like matching. But I took care of it so well. And then I just slowly...
Did your dad teach you that or...
No.
What was it?
I mean, my dad doesn't... I've never heard my dad complain in his life.
But I mean, specifically about like... Cleaning the car, taking care of the car. That was, you just grabbed a bucket one day and was like, I'm gonna go wash my car.
I just felt like what he did instill in me was this insane sense of like being proud of what you do have. Because again, I've never seen him complain. I've never seen him gripe. And he's never had a fancy car or anything. And he's always taken care of everything that he's had. So I just kind of like got that from him.
Watch
just
and learn.
Just be proud of whatever it is that you have. Mm-hmm. And so I was always just proud of everything, you know, and I treated everything really well. Probably also because we were poor and there was no redos. There was no get another one.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like what I did had, I had to take care of it. That goes from the shoes to the clothes. I've always had immaculate everything.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. You clean your shoes after a day of walking around in them.
Yeah. Well, because it's so important. Again, it's like I don't take for granted anything. Like, I just don't. Every single thing that we have, I feel like I'm still the same poor kid, you know?
Yeah.
From Germany who just, you know, who knows if we'll get another one. I'm a little more free, but everything that I have, I take care of because everyone works hard. Like, we work hard to get what we have. So it's just, I feel like it would be such a disrespect to you, to myself, for me to just be flipping with stuff. That's why I always get on you about stuff. I'm like, why?
Well, that's what I was going to say is I feel like I don't take anything for granted either, but I also don't wash my shoes every time I come home.
Well, that is, I mean.
You might care about something else. Like, Manny cares more about shoes and cars, whereas maybe you have something else that you...
Nah, she doesn't take care of anything.
You take care of Rosie.
Yeah, that's about it.
Don't take care... The Bonzo. House isn't really
Bonzo,
a thing.
You put a lot of work into Bonzo.
Yeah.
Clothes, shoes. Nothing material.
I'm not a sloppy Joe, but I'm also not...
Wait, what? You're not a sloppy Joe? What you mean?
Like, I'm not a nasty college frat boy. Mm-mm. I'm just not... pristine.
Babe, I cannot keep our room clean. It is impossible.
Okay, but that's just like a lot of stuff everywhere.
Stuff
in this
everywhere
room.
On the but floor. That's okay. College. That's college kid
no,
to me.
No. I think college kid to me mm-mm. is just old wrappers of like food on the ground and like
that's not, extreme.
You're
that's
not
extreme.
Dirty.
Yeah, I'm not dirty.
No. Well, it depends on
I'm
how you...
I'm not dirty. I have stuff
how
everywhere.
Do you, well, that to me is dirty because I'm so clean.
Okay, exactly. So that's
you
what
know,
I want to
if you have, if I go into your...
You're clean and tidy. That's tidy.
Sure. If I go into our room and you got clothes all over your makeup counter, that is like, these don't belong there.
Because...
Stuff on the floor.
My makeup counter is the only available space in the room.
Oh, you mean the drawers?
They're,
are not...
Those are taken...
Whatever.
But so what I'm saying is like if you did
also mean you should
you
get rid
laundry,
of stuff you should get
you,
rid of stuff like
nope,
I've been asking
nope,
you to
absolutely not if you did laundry and you put it in the room and I don't have time to fold it and put it
that
away
is not
yet
the case, baby.
Then it stays on my makeup table until I have time to put it away
babe there is a steady flow of stuff everywhere And I encourage you, hey, let's get rid of stuff then. Let's get rid of whatever.
I do have you a lot
are
of cal- stuff.
You are college messy to me.
I disagree.
I also disagree.
The amount of empty LaCroix that we see.
Thank you.
The amount of empty LaCroix that I see. The
okay,
amount
empty
of
LaCroix,
random
sure. I'll give you
snacks
that.
Out of your backpack.
Oh, I don't
snacks
know.
Snacks out of my backpack? What are
yeah,
you talking about?
Yeah. I just clean nonstop so you don't see it. I see it because I'm like, I have to clean.
Wait. Like you found snacks in my backpack?
No, out or of your backpack. Like when you're trading backpacks, when you're changing purses or whatever, stuff is randomly left everywhere. The amount of fully full LaCroix that have lost their, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, when I say I don't take it for granted, like I, and maybe that's like, again, that maybe that's the poor kid in me, or maybe it's a whatever, but it's like when I see three full LaCroix that lost their fizz because you opened them and didn't finish them, to me, I'm like, man, this is wasteful.
Yeah,
I can't
and
do
this
that.
Is where I disagree you can still drink with them. You and I see how you actually take things for granted is on this bus tour, every single city that we stopped in, you forgot something. Every single city.
Babe.
And then you bought a new one in the next city.
First of all, it's not every single city. Secondly,
I forgot
that's
my
not
bar
on purpose.
So, I'm not doing it on purpose. I forgot my
what?
Soap. I forgot my mechanical toothbrush.
Babe.
I forgot
it
my face
once.
Wash.
It happened
I
once.
I forgot my jeans. I forgot my jacket.
Negative.
Sir.
You're saying everything. I forgot my toothbrush
sir,
and I didn't replace it.
You and Alex it. Are tied for forgetting things.
No,
in city.
Now you're
Alex
being,
literally forgot all his laundry.
Now you're
in,
exaggerating.
In the
I forgot,
dryer.
I forgot
at one
my
of the
toothbrush.
Menus.
I forgot my toothbrush. And I and you that. Said, are you gonna replace it? I said, yeah, but for home. I'm not gonna bring it out again.
And
it's
then you
expensive.
Brought it out again.
I did not bring it out again. I used a normal toothbrush. What else did I forget when I was out? Deodorant. You're okay, trying. So I bought a deodorant and then I didn't lose it again. I remind you on a
oh,
daily,
water bottle. You left your water
oh,
bottle
right.
I
lost
multiple
it.
Times.
I witnessed that one.
I lost yep. it once and I had to get a new one, right? That was it. What I, it's that's very different. And I beat myself up about it. Even if the water bottle cost
you
us,
beat yourself up about it. You go, oh man, I'll just get a new one.
That is not true. You know how angry I get whenever I forget anything. I get so mad at myself because it's irresponsible. I shouldn't lose things.
Yeah. No.
Don't
you
miss
do.
Don't
and
miss
I actually
like
and I actually tell you to not get so angry about things because
right, so then why are you lying?
Because I don't want you to accidentally put that onto Rosie when she makes mistakes. You're very hard on yourself when you make mistakes.
Okay, so then why are
like,
you lying about me being
chill.
Like flippant about losing stuff?
Well, because you are flippant. That's not
I am
really
not
a
flippant.
Mistake. You're like,
I,
oh, man,
I am bothered every time I lose something. I get very bothered and I do not like replacing stuff that I lose. That's my fault that I should have
yes,
I should have known
still
better.
Forget and, something every city.
It's not every city. I had to replace
sir,
one
be
bottle.
Honest.
One water bottle I replaced.
How percentage wise, how do you think, what do you think it is percentage wise? How many cities you forgot something in?
Babe, you can only name two things that I forgot.
Nuh-uh. I named multiple.
No, you didn't.
Your water bottle.
Yes.
Your toothbrush.
Yes.
Your deodorant.
Yes.
Your t-shirts, your workout t-shirts.
No, I didn't. I didn't lose my workout t-shirts. No, I didn't.
You were like, where's all my workout t-shirts?
Yeah, I said that when I got here, I took too many back to Nashville. Now you're conflating things.
All right,
things.
Agree to disagree.
No, you can't agree to disagree about lies. Those
sir,
three things I did lose. I did lose, and I replaced them, and I didn't lose them again.
I know what news channel you watch.
You're so dumb.
Oh, no.
I didn't replace. I lost them once, and I didn't replace them after that. So, again, I do care about things.
All right.
But how many times do I need to tell you about LaCroix and you don't listen? You still haven't listened. You still haven't listened.
I want
that's a
LaCroix
different attitude,
to bring
right?
back those the little cans that they had, the little skinny cans. That's basically like, it's like a tall, skinny.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the La Colombe cans. You know, those they're like tall, skinny ones.
Yeah.
LaCroix used to do those size. Mm-hmm. And that was perfect for me.
Yeah.
Because I just need half of a LaCroix.
Yeah, but then you also do this weird thing as my wife where I'm like, well, let's just split a LaCroix and you don't like drinking after me.
Ugh. Not that I don't like drinking.
That's so
just
weird.
Pour it into a cup.
Okay. Not that I don't like drinking after you.
Or pour it into a cup.
The first sip is the best sip.
Yeah, but I would gladly let you have the first.
I'll be like, babe, give me a LaCroix. And he'll go, all right, here you go. And I'm like, well, forget it. Now I want a new one. Like, you just took the best sip.
And that's not wasteful.
No, because you're going to drink it. So you drink it. Listen, I will have my own.
I will say the amount of half-drank Topo Chico's that I threw out late at night on the bus. I don't know who it was. It was one of you two.
It will never be me.
It was one of you two.
Because I run around drinking other people's Topo Chico's.
No, Mal always finished his. Mal always finished his Topo's.
Topo's don't lose the bubbles.
And they would always be left not in a cup holder. So now I'm like, well, now we're moving. And I'm worried that these are going to fall
over.
Then that's
for sure not me because I always put my stuff in cup
Angela Johnson, there has never been a time where I have left a Topo Chico. I literally go around and finish everyone's Topo.
Oh, I thought
if I don't know if it's mine, I'll drink it away from my mouth, but I will still drink it because Topos are like gold.
You can't a garbage pail.
You can't throw away Topos.
Left out food and drinks. That is very true.
On to more gratefuls. Because you're not going to admit your failings. Okay. I'm kind of grateful with something, I guess, again about my I'm grateful for 45. I'm actually grateful that I'm headed towards 50. Yeah, I feel kind of like grateful that I'm alive.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone else thinks this way, but the older I get, I hate that my body's like kind of like harder to keep up. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I've said this before, but I'm more and more grateful that another year goes by and we haven't, like, God's been good and we haven't made like mistakes to like mess up our life.
Like big mistakes.
Yeah, like I see this life as a race, right? And it's so hard. Things happen.
We've made mistakes, no, obviously. Yeah, but I'm talking about a life altering.
I would have clarified if I can keep going.
Oh, sorry. it sounded like when you say the thing where you go, we don't argue.
No, I'm talking about mistakes that like detour people. Like there's people that make mistakes that like detour your life, right? And we've been able to like continue to make like smart decisions. We'll make mistakes along the way, but they haven't like detoured our life to where it's like, dang it, like it's altered our direction. And it can happen to anyone. So I'm not saying that like as if we're above the mistake. I'm just saying, man, it hasn't happened yet. And I'm super grateful that we've been patient with big decisions. I always ask multiple people before making big decisions. I have a long list of accountability people, especially when it comes to money or any other things. I have a lot of people to say no to me before I make a decision. Mm-hmm. And I credit that for no big mistakes.
Yeah.
And I see it as a race that like the older we get, the closer we get to the finish line mm-hmm. without making a big mistake. And if we can like finish this life or get to our retirement years without the mistake, like, I feel like you can breathe and be like, man, you know, like I won at a very big part of life that's very hard to win at. Mm-hmm. The other part of life is one that you can't control, which would be your health or your health, my health, or little Rosie, you know, like that's stuff that if something happens out of our control, you know, that's still the pendulum that's swinging that it's like I'm afraid of. But if we can get to our old age and me and you have like continue to make smart decisions, like that excites me because life is so hard. Like there's so many ways to mess up.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to just go sideways. And I'm super glad that we haven't. Like, and it's by the grace of God.
That makes me think of something. 45. What is something 45-year-old you would tell teenager you? And what is something that you think teenager you would think about your life now?
Well, teenager me thought that he was going to be broke his whole life. Like, I couldn't even see past. I couldn't even see normal stuff. Like, I tell this story all the time, like, to people. I thought I was going to be so broke. My dream car, which this is going to date how old I am, was a Toyota Tercel, which is before the Corollas came along. It was smaller than a Corolla, cheaper than a Corolla. I think brand new, it was probably like $8,000. And in our neighborhood, us poor kids would get the Tercel, and they sold a ground effect kit that made it look like a baby BMW.
Cute.
And then we would steal the badges off of a BMW and take it off and just trade. That was the hopes of my life. That I would be able to get an $8,000 Toyota Tercel, put ground effects on it.
And you may one day steal a BMW.
Steal a badge, and I would roll around in that and be so... Because, again, I've always been a car guy. But that was, like, the extent.
Like, not dreaming of the BMW. But
no, I couldn't even...
I can one day get to a car Tercel that looks like a BMW.
That looks like a BMW, and I can pretend.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, the hopes. Mm-hmm. Now, back then, I was, you know, a thug, so all I cared about was, like, money.
So
I didn't think about anything more important than, like, what I could get. Now, older me would tell younger me, buy real estate faster, right? And I would school him on investing. Like, that's what older me would just school on investing in, not just in monetarily, but in life and health. Because back then in health, I took my body for granted. I took everything for granted. Mm-hmm. I took my life for granted. The amount of stuff that I stole from people and places and could have ended up in jail.
But what would teenager you, what do you think teenager you, looking at your life now, not just
well, he would be,
your cars, but like looking at
no,
your
that's
career?
What I'm saying. My total of life, the total of life would be wealthy in like all areas. Like back then, I didn't see other areas. Other areas didn't exist. And if you're poor, you can identify with this. There's nothing outside of survival. There's nothing outside of things. You don't have time to think of the deepness of life. You're only like, I gotta eat, or I gotta get clothes, or I gotta whatever. So I only consume myself with the most primitive things. You know, don't get shot. Don't end up in prison. Buy nice things because that's what makes people like you. Right? So now looking forward, that kid would be like, holy crap, things don't matter. Health does matter. Mm-hmm. And wealth really is the people that you surround yourself with.
Did you want to be in music back then when you were a teenager?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I used to fall asleep dreaming to music. I would fall asleep to music. And I would close my eyes, and whatever music was playing, I would pretend that that voice was coming out of me on a stage.
Aww.
No matter who it was, it would be like, you know, Queensryche or Aerosmith or Guns N' Roses. And it would be their voice, but I'm on stage like killing it. And I would fall asleep every night just dreaming.
Aww, cutie.
Uh-huh. So music also wasn't realistic.
That was just a fantasy.
How could it be? It was. Yeah. We were in Orlando. I was recording on a freaking tape deck with a Radio Shack mic.
Yeah.
There was no internet like that. You know, MySpace didn't come along. Like, MySpace came along, like, towards the end when I was, like, you know, really trying to make it.
Yeah.
So it just wasn't even realistic.
Yeah. Same for me. The entertainment industry, that was just a fantasy. That's not real, but I would do my award speeches. I would practice my award speeches in the mirror. Mm-hmm. What was I winning an award for? I don't know, but something for being famous. Mm-hmm. Was I an actress? Was I winning a Grammy for being a singer? I don't know, but thank you so much.
I only got really inspired to do music, like when it really became something that I thought it could be real, is when I got saved. And it wasn't even because Christian, like the hip hop, and it wasn't even big. It was just, that was the point where I discovered purpose. Mm-hmm. And I was good at music. So it just felt like, man, this feels purposeful because I'm good at it. Mm. Like, I'm really good at this thing. And so it makes sense.
Were there other things that you were good at? I mean, because you're good at a lot of things. Don't play any trivia game with Manny. He's going to win. any teach him a new game his first time playing, and then he's gonna win. It's gonna be very annoying doing any kind of game with Manny
because I'm just good at learning.
Yeah, so you're good at things. So, was there other things that you were good at?
Yeah, just learning. I'm just good at learning. You know, I graduated high school with a 4.9 GPA. I graduated college with a 4.9. Almost perfect. I'm just good at learning.
I thought it stopped at 4.0. 5.0. That's how smart I am.
Well, it depends on your school. My school stopped at 4.0, but it just depends on what your school offers.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I had a 3.8, just saying.
Oh, so you're right there with them.
It could be okay. A 4.0. Like, I'm...
No, whatever. Some schools did go to 5.0. Yeah. It just depends on the school.
Let's just say I was like a point away from perfect in high school and in college. But it's because I love to learn. I don't like being the dumbest person in the room, but I'm rarely this, like, I don't know if I'm the smartest person in the room. And the second I identify the smartest person in the room, I have to learn from that person. Like, I got to learn, which is why I'm always learning, which is why I always tell you, like, I can't stop learning. It's very important to me to be well-rounded like that. So I think I'm good at that. And that allows me to be good at a lot of other things because I learn to be good at it. But music came before that mindset. Like, I was just good at music, which was pretty awesome. And then when I got saved, it just kind of happened, which was wild.
I feel like I'm not really great at learning things, but I can be, like, I'm not good at learning things, but I can be good at things. Like, for instance, dancing. When I tried out for the Raiderettes, I'm a good dancer, but like learning technique, once I start getting technique, I'm not great. When I'm trying to like learn like how to spot and turn, I could never do it. But I was good. But once it came time to actually learning, that was my instinct. My instincts are good. When it comes to learning, the learning part is where I'm like, oh, now I don't get it.
I don't agree.
Sir.
I think you can be so good at anything. Like, because a few things that I've seen you do, you're so good at it and you pick it up so easily.
My instinct.
Yeah. Here's the problem. What you see is instinct. That's just natural ability, right?
Uh-huh.
So your issue is when it's not natural, you don't have the drive. So you got, and I say it in the most loving way. It's just like,
yeah,
you're lazy with stuff that you're not great at initially.
That's true.
But you have the ability to be great at everything. You just talk yourself out of it and you make a bunch of excuses and then you end up not.
I mean, that's a thing. That's a thing, though. Like, I feel like I'm the same way where I'm like, if I'm not instantly good at it, then I go, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb. I'm not doing this anymore.
No, and that's most people. That's not what
I said about stand-up. If I would have bombed my first, because you hear that story, so many headliners tell the story of my first time on stage, I bombed, but I wanted it so bad, and they kept trying. Mm-hmm. No, that's not my story. If I would have bombed, bye.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's not for me. Ooh, no. Mm-hmm. Something else, please.
Right. Yeah. Which is the catch-22, right? Because...
But I think you love the things that you're intrinsically good at, though.
You mean it's easier to love the things you're...
Yeah, sure.
Because you can fall in love with some stuff that you're not good at.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... You'll love it even more because of the road it takes to get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't love taxes and insurance and financials.
Mm-hmm.
But the road to get to understanding taxes and financials, it was so hard and so many conversations that I'm like, oh, I put in some work. I still got a long way to go, but it feels very rewarding to not be interested in that at all. But to understand that this is going to unlock long-term wealth and establish the Reyes name for generations to come. And so now that makes it an epic journey. It's like, holy crap. Like, when we sit and think about it, if we play this right, if we do this, if we teach Rosie these fundamentals, she has the potential to create what you would say generational wealth. And that excites me when it never excited me before, you know?
Yeah.
Music was the easy thing. So it's easy to get excited about it. It's easy to just go in there and just, you know, do my thing. But all this other stuff, all this learning, all this whatever, flipping houses, real estate, all that stuff, it takes so much work. And but the fact that I put in the work now makes me feel like, okay, you know, like I feel rewarded. And I think that's why I always push you, because I don't see limits to you. Just from the little stuff that you do that I'm like, gosh, she's so good at stuff that took me longer. Like to be on stage, you know, it, you just took to it so fast, doing the music thing, doing the dancing thing, doing it all at the same time. It was just kind of seemed so effortless to you that I'm like, man, if she had like, if I could put my drive in you, like you would already be like writing so much, producing so much, you know?
Yeah, I know,
because the thing with you that you have that I don't, that we always laugh about, is you have this influence and you have this demographic, this fan base that's there that would rock with you if you started
if I had building out this stuff. Drive, we would, who knows where we would be right now. Like if I had the things that I have plus your strengths.
Well, let's get even deeper. If we could unlock, if somehow we could figure out through Jesus and therapy a way for you to embrace the drive that I have and not be defensive about it, not think that I'm attacking.
I hate it already.
You know? Then you wouldn't need my drive. You could just ride my wave, mm-hmm, and we can work together. But the problem is anytime I come in and I try to give you my drive, you shut down and you immediately take it as attack. And I'm just like, nah, girl, you're on a surfboard on the sand. And I'm literally the wave. And I literally see the track in front of us and I know how to get there. And for some reason, that just doesn't connect with you. It doesn't click.
Yeah.
But anytime you've let me do it, it's worked and we've won. But that's a you thing. And I'm never going to push my, you know, I tried it at the beginning of our marriage and that was catastrophic. It didn't work so well. So now I just kind of like shoot water guns at you. And hopefully it'll inspire you to get in the water. Like maybe the wetness will make you feel good about it. But I think there's.
Instead I go, stop squirting me.
Yeah. I think there's a whole nother level we could take it to. But been able to like rest or settle myself in is like, all right, Lord, it's really not up to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's kind of like a freedom in that. I don't like it because now we're just kind of like, you know, I'll bust my butt and keep working hard on the things that I'm doing. But in our marriage, the trajectory for you is just like, at least currently, there's just so much more momentum and there's just a wider field that I'm like, we could crush. Mm-hmm. But
I also think there's something to be said too. I feel like there was times in my life where I was like, I'll never feel successful unless I get the award or I get the writing job or I get the whatever. And then there was, I feel like, a shift later in my life where I was like, okay, but what if? What if I don't get any of that? Like, am I still content? And what if this is what the Lord has for me? Mm-hmm. What can I be content in this? Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I shifted that mindset, then I was like, it was almost like a relief, like a burden had been lifted to where it was like, I still have that drive and that passion. I still want to write. I still want to create. But I didn't need what the world view as success. I didn't need the awards anymore. I was like, oh, now I can actually enjoy this. And I'm just doing this not to survive, but to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like the difference between that?
Well, the important thing to do is to assess the goals that you have reached and then see how you felt after reaching them. Mm-hmm. So forget about the scale. Right? Yeah. The scale is always going to get bigger because you can always go bigger. Mm-hmm. But how did you feel after you got the small goal? Right? Mm-hmm. So whatever it is. For me, and this is something I'm super grateful that God just like revealed to me. You know, for me, I went from the Honda to a fancy Nissan, right? And then after a couple of weeks, it was just a car. And then I went from the Nissan to an Acura. And then after a couple of weeks, it was just a car. And then we went from, you know, living in a room with my parents to buying the first condo. And then it was like, that's just where we live. And then from the condo to the house in the hills. And then it was like, all right, well, now we're in the hills and it's cool. And there's moments of times where you're like, wow, we live here. But most of it is just like, it's a house. It costs so much to upkeep. Why do I have so many people? Things keep breaking. It's on us. And it's just another house. And I don't really find happiness in any of the goals achieved. And so what most people do is they just think, ah, it's the next goal that's going to be the happiness.
Yeah.
For me, the wisdom was in, oh, I see the pattern. I'm going to hit the goals. It's going to happen. But every goal I hit, it never fulfills. And it, no matter how big the goal gets, it just never fulfills. So then I just stop putting any kind of like hope in the goal. And it just became the process of it all, right? It's just the process of getting said thing and figuring it out is fun. But knowing fundamentally that when I get said thing, it will just be said thing after 2 weeks. It will not make me 1 ounce happy. But what will make me happy is the way I got there. Like, how did I get
like
there?
Like, reflect. I think, like, reflecting on it, because I think there's a there's something to be said, too, about living and enjoying what you prayed for, even if now your brain's already thinking of the next best thing. Like, I've lived in my same apartment for 9 years, and I, my friends are constantly like, move to the West Side, move to the West Side. And I'm thinking, oh, I might move to Nashville, or I might. But I think back, I remember I have this distinct memory of literally standing on my balcony, looking out over the view and just looking up at the sky and being like, please, Lord, like, let me stay here. Let me stay here. And so every time I think about moving, or I think about like, oh, I wish I didn't have to pay quarters for laundry, and I wish that I wasn't so far away from my friends, I always try to like reset by reminding myself, be like, oh, but this is exactly what you prayed for. This is like, God answered and gave you what you asked for. And even like, same with my cars. Like, I spent, I don't know, 6 to 8 years of my life stuck on the highway driving crappy cars for years and years. And then I finally get a Honda Civic and I'm like, I love my Honda Civic. Like, it's not a fancy car, but it doesn't break down on the highway. It gets me to where I need to go. It carries my stuff. It protects me. And so sometimes I think like, okay, like this, like if it never gets better than this, can I still find joy and happiness in my life and in my faith? Because what if God is saying, you've like reached the mountaintop, you know, like this is where I need you and this is where you're going to be. And so I try to like recenter in that gratitude of like, you're so right. Like, this is everything I asked for. This is like, sure, are there still things that I'm praying for and asking for and things like that? Totally. But there's such joy and relief and peace and happiness in just living in what he's already given me and what he's already provided for me. And then I can still, and it's still a space to where I can still write and be creative, or I can still, it's a space where I can do my job for you. And it's, you know, I, oh, it takes 6 hours to upload this video, but I've got internet and I can do it, you know? And
yeah, I think
there's like some sort of, I do find a sort of peace in that.
There's for sure. I think what really it is you're probably understanding more that you have what you need. I think God cares less about the wheres and the whats. I think that's totally up to us, right? So if you move in the spirit of like, this is not going to bring happiness, this is only going to bring more comfort or more convenience or more whatever. And I've situated my life to do that, right? So to you, it's, I would say, all right, where are the ail points of your life, or where are the pain points, right? If it's the laundry, if it's the whatever, if you have financial goals and you're like, man, if I did live in Nashville, it would slash my rent mm-hmm. in half and I would be able to do this, this, and this. So God's like, sure, go to Nashville mm-hmm. or stay in Burbank. Really could care less. Mm-hmm. It's the motive of why you want to do what it is you want to do. Whether you are in a Civic or you go out yourself and you're like, I've been working hard and I can afford a C-class Mercedes. I'm going to go get a Mercedes. I think he can care less. The motive is all the more important, right? And it's like, I'll get this Mercedes, Jesus, and I'll thank you for it. But it's not, I'm not going to drive it thinking that other people are going to look at me and mm-hmm. think that I'm special. None of that. This is just for my comfort. Mercedes feels nicer and, you know, and it's this, and Nashville allows me to save more, and now I'm going to be able to stack this. And so to me, the fun part is figuring out the way to get to whatever little goal you is. Your is. It's the, I think the people that get tripped up is in the goals, putting the happiness there as opposed to saying, God, I'm content. I have what I need. Everything else after this point will just be cherries on top.
Yeah.
It's just going to be that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I feel. Do mm-hmm. I need six cars? I do not need six cars. I know that. I'm a car guy. And that's like minimal for car guys. And I don't think the next car will make me happy. I only think I'm creating new experiences with these cars, Jesus. Thank you for the new experiences. But I know that once I get this thing, it will be no more important than the thing that I'm getting rid of. The only fun part is experiencing new things. And I will get over it and I will move on to the next. And I think that's like, that's the key of it. I don't think you should deprive yourself of any goal. Mm-hmm. I think you shouldn't sell your soul or your mentality or your peace to get said goal. That's where the Lord will step in and be like, this is affecting like your mental health now. Mm-hmm. You're moving into the $5,000 apartment so that people will think you're cool. Mm. That's going to stress you out and you can't afford it. And you're going to have to cut this, this, and that. But moving for wisdom's sake or even for like, I don't want to say selfish, but if you're like, LA's hard to find like a dude that I, that like rocks with the way I think. I'm going to move to Nashville because I just feel like they guys over there think more like how I think. To other people, that may be like I don't know, like a vain move or just like a shallow move. But I feel like to the Lord, it would be like, that makes perfect sense. You're aligning yourself with someone that thinks the way you do. So that move makes sense. To no one else, it doesn't make sense. But to you, this makes sense. And it's gonna be a new adventure, like what you're saying. And you should, all the adventures you should do now while you're single, everything, every little thing, because it's going to be on the other side of that reached goal that you'll be able to determine how real it was to you. So you do end up in a Mercedes, right? And you're like, I thought it would be nice, but it's not. And then you like get rid of your Mercedes and you go back to an Accord, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I don't need the Mercedes now. I get it. I don't need it. I'm not a driver. I'm not a car person. Or you move to Nashville and you spend there a year and you're like, I freaking love it. Or I freaking hate it. And you come back to LA. Mm-hmm. Or you try a new spot. Yeah, I want to try New York. That's what I wish I would have done more of when I was single and younger. Mm-hmm. Instead of like obsessing over the Lord's will. As if I could outrun it. I wish I would have moved to like Europe, stayed there for a summer, or like lived in other places.
I know, but for me at least, I'm like, I did that already. I did the big move. I went in my 20s and I did the adventure, and I slept on someone's floor for 6 months, and then I slept in this random guest house in this woman's house for 4 months.
We gotta have you on and tell your story one day. You got some really
but you're in a different know. But the problem is that you didn't have access. New you has access to new things. It's a very it's like
new me is also tired, so
well that's what I'm saying. New you should be looking at life like,
it's
I what's feel gonna like bring the so... biggest convenience and the most comfort to my life. Because like you, the older I got, the more that started becoming important, like especially when I was touring, was convenience and comfort.
Yeah.
So I started thinking, I don't like waking up at 5 a.m. to catch a 6 a.m. flight to get there by sound check.
Right.
So then I started saying, I will take $200 less to fly in the night before, get my own hotel, wake up the next morning of show day, and no, but do my gym thing and do my whatever. And that was one of the sacrifices I made. And that I'd rather live in a central place so that I don't have to take 6-hour flights. I can just take 2-hour flights here and there. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Because I'm thinking, okay, so you just, by the time this comes out, you just turned 45. I just turned 35 by the time this airs. And then I moved to LA when I was 25. So I don't know if it's just because I'm coming up on the 10-year mark that I'm like, things are changing, you know, or I'm being very reflective, but it's, Or maybe I'm just hitting that 10-year itch of like, well, I did a big life change at 25, so surely there must be a big life change at 35. It's very reflective in the sense where I think back of 25-year-old me that first moved here and everything I wanted to accomplish in 6 months, 6 years, 10 years, and how I am not even where I wanted to be at all. But it's not a bad thing. It's, I believe in dreams shifting and changing. And oh my gosh, there's this dumb Pinterest Tumblr quote that I was obsessed with for years that was like, on the way to the dream, I got lost and found a better one, blah, blah, something like that. But it's so true. It's like, it's crazy how, I mean, even the years that I spent working in television, I worked a job I didn't even know existed until it was given to me. I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. And now it's my career, you know? But I do feel like now that I'm in my 30s, I'm like, I do want comfort. I don't want to wake up early. I do want to sleep in. I'm perfectly fine with my Honda Civic. I do like it. I've never had a car that didn't break down within me having it for a year. And this one I've had for 4 years. It's crazy. Feels crazy.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. It's interesting. And in my 20s, I was obsessed with, is this where God wants me? Is this the path that God has me on? I just want to make sure that I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. And I feel like as the older I've gotten, it's like, it's more like I'm on this path and what's the Lord going to do with me on this path?
It's literally like choose your own adventure with God. Mm-hmm. If Noah can freaking, you know, not Noah, Jonah. If Jonah is actively saying, nah, God, peace, and he can't get away, you know, like, you're not going to outrun the will of God. Like, you just can't. And as long as, again, like, I'm grateful for it. These are, like, lessons that I learned that I try to pass to, like, new believers. That it's, like, as long as it's your heart, like, your intent, the things you do is your intentions. And making most of your decisions you're going to make are not permanent. Like, they're just not permanent. Like, we had this fear of, like, in Bible college, everybody was like, well, should we go to Bible college? Should we go to normal college? And everybody was freaking out. I'm talking about so many prayer meetings of people just bawling out to the Lord. Where should I go? UCF or Southeastern? And I would always, and I was like a newer believer, still like thug turned Christian. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, are you signing up to go all 4 years? Because I thought with college, you can like go a semester and if you don't like it, you just transfer. Is that not the case? And they're like, well, it is. And I'm like, well, can't you just go for the 3 months? And
why are you crying?
Like, if you don't like it, can't you just transfer to the other one? Well, yeah. And I'm like, well, do you think God is like that small that you make this 1 3-month detour and then he's done? What happened to the Israelites who did 40 years of detour and they still ended up where they needed to be? Like, I'm like, this just doesn't track. There's no need to be fearful of like missing out on God's will. I think you should be more like freaking Lot, who they told, go that way. Just start walking east. You'll find it, you know. I'm pretty sure it's Lot. Fact check me. But it was a beautiful principle of just like start walking. And I always tell people, just walk, have fun along the way. You will find Jesus everywhere. And it's going to be in the life lessons you learn. And that's something that I've been uber grateful for, that I shed that fear of like this God expecting me to make all the right decisions. Cause I made I've made wrong decisions, but it's in the decision that I'm like, hey Jesus, thanks for like, thanks for not making this the one that broke us. Like, you know, like it broke my ego. But man, I've learned so much from all these mistakes and these quote unquote failures that I can't even look at them as failures anymore.
Like, I don't, there's nothing in my life I regret because everything taught me something. There was always, I'm such a believer in everything happens for a reason. And sometimes I'm like, the reason was that you failed and you need to learn how to fail.
Yeah. The only small regret I have is not having Rosie sooner. I wish we'd have had her at 35. Only because
or you're 35?
My 35. Only because everything we have now.
I was busy then.
Sure, but what I'm saying is like everything.
There was no room in this schedule.
Usually people say, "Oh, you're financially more set and you can afford more help." But at 35, we could have did the same thing that we're doing now. So it's
just
like
be younger.
We just be younger,
energetic,
with,
and better knees,
better everything. Yeah. Like, and better I'll be able to see. You know, she'll graduate high school, and I won't be retired. Yeah. You know, so I do regret the mentality. And now it's so weird because I find myself talking to other people who are saying they don't want kids. And I'm just like, I'm urging them. I talked to two producers that I work with. And they're like, they don't want kids. And I'm just urging, the guy
are
to like reconsider, huh?
Are they older? Like, or what?
Yeah, they're getting old. One of them is like 40. And I'm like, and the wife is like the same. And I'm like, bruh. I'm trying to talk to them first because for men, it's less like time sensitive. And I'm trying to get them to remember for women, it's so time sensitive that it's like, you can be flippant because you can literally change your mind at 50 and be like, let's do it. But she cannot.
Like, the closer, like, because I'm 30, when this airs, I'm 35. And leading up to 35, all I've been thinking about is, and you talk about all the time how when you're 35, you're a geriatric pregnancy. And I'm like, that is consuming my brain. Like, I try not to think about it. And I know you guys were different, but I've wanted a baby since I probably was a baby. Like, and so it's like whenever I come across older guys like that too, or people who are like, especially trying to date in this day and age of like coming across somebody who's 40 and they're like, I don't know what I want in a relationship. And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You're 40. Like,
well, here's the reason, because guys have to work so long to become something. Right? At 18, very few 18-year-olds are out there just like crushing. Hey, I can take on a family right now. It just never happens. They need to work so hard to become something, whatever. At 18, you can become a mom. Like, if you find an older dude or 18, 23, whatever, you could become a mom, and that, boom, instantly you're like, this is the most valuable thing ever. Becoming a mom and creating this new person. Whereas a guy at 18, they're not even close to being ready to like shoulder it.
But I also feel like with a lot of guys these days, like I think back on my parents and they got married right when my dad graduated college, and it wasn't like he had his life figured out, but they just, I feel like there was,
it's a different culture.
I feel like, yeah, there's this different culture back then. They were just like, we'll just figure it out. And I'm like, nobody wants to figure it out anymore.
Well, it was cool to have kids young.
Yeah.
Now, which is, I won't pass this on to Rosie, even though I'm in love with the boss babe, I won't sell the dream like what our culture does. Our culture sells the dream to women. Go out there. You know, I heard this one guy say it, which was so brilliant. He goes, men work so hard to make money so that they can take on dependence. Women work so hard to make money so they can be independent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, that's so true. I don't need you. I don't need a man's money. I can do it on my own. Where a man is like, I need to work hard so that I can have a family, so I can have some kids, I can take care of them.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different culture now. The only problem is they sell you on job, career. And most people just find out at the end, A, that time does matter and your body does turn against you. And then B, you can't have it all at the same time. Yeah. Like, it's impossible to do it at the same time.
I also think, too, there's this element of like, I remember my friend had sent me another Instagram, Pinterest, whatever, But it was like, yeah, I'm an independent woman against my will. Like, it was this, it's like this mentality. Like, I mean, everybody in my family, my parents, my aunts, my uncles, except for one, most everybody met their spouse in college. And so then it's like, so I go to college and I'm like, well, that's where you meet. That's where I'm going to meet my husband. I go to college. And mm-hmm. then the next thing you know, I'm all I got is a degree, uh-huh. a really expensive degree. And I'm like,
that's what your t-shirt says. I went to college. All I got was this degree.
It's a dumb degree. College degree, whatever. I mean, I loved it. I loved college. I also went to a different one first, hated it, transferred to another one. And, but then there's, comes that mentality where you're like, well, I can't just mooch off my parents forever. So I guess I'll get a job. Maybe I'll meet somebody in the workforce. And then my first job, I'm surrounded by people all 20 years older than me. So I was like, well, this isn't going to work out. And then it just starts like to spiral. And you're like, oh my God, no, I'm an independent boss, babe. What happened? I didn't. This isn't what I wanted.
Well, here's the trick.
How did I get here?
Like everything else. If like family and kids is goals, then you literally have to tailor your life to become that thing. Just like you had to tailor your life to become a boss, babe. Like there's certain actions that you have to take to become that thing that you want to be. So it's like what I will teach Rosie, what I will pass on to her, baby, you can do anything. There is the boss babe approach. Mama took it. Mm-hmm. She's awesome. She crushed it. You know, work can be a thing, but it will never be the thing. Cause just from mm-hmm. us having you, we had you late thinking that work was the thing. Then we had you and we felt dumb. We realized work would have never given us what mm-hmm. you have given us. So that is not a true thing. Work mm-hmm. will not make you as happy as you having a family. That said, if you want to go chase your dream first, you can. But time will be working against you at a certain mm-hmm. point. And I have to let you know that. Now, if kids is important, family is important, then I'm going to encourage you, do it as soon as possible. Soon as possible. Like as soon as you feel like your legs are under you, do it as soon as possible, because you can have a kid at 23. If you find a good dude, you can have a kid at 23, and at 30, 33, you can go take on any career you want, because mm-hmm. your kid's 10 years old. He doesn't need, their main point in needing you is done, those basic, very important first years. And at 33, you can literally go become any single thing that you want to do. You haven't lost anything, especially in technology in the new days mm-hmm. where it's like, you can keep up with what's going on. You're not like, just in the kitchen, right? You're keeping up with what's going on. And in your 30s, go chase a career. Go do anything. Mm-hmm. Because you were there for your kid. Now they're off. They're in high school. And you're going to go do your thing. But you just can't do it at the same time. You're going to have to trade off. And if you're going to trade, sooner is better when it comes to family. Because your body will work against you. Well, not the guys.
I agree. To an extent, mm-hmm. and I feel like I am doing the you same doing time yeah. right now. It's just hard. Mm-hmm. You can do it at the same time, but it's you can't give 100% of yourself to both at the same time. So somewhere is going to lack.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So it's but not it is at the same possible. Time. You can do it. Just right, but one,
two, well, but what you're not, which A, you're not even close to the rule. You're so far the exception, it's not even funny, right? So you can't base a rule based on an exception, okay? Because you're less than 1% of females in the world, okay? So that's not even realistic for 99.9% of the women, A. B, you still have to, you know, we need a nanny. She is whatever, like, it's necessary for you to keep doing you. We need help. So I mean, someone else is helping to raise, you know, the kid. So when I say have it all at the same time, meaning the kid's getting 100% of you. There is no other thing. Mm-hmm. You're it, mm-hmm. which there's no one better to raise the kid but you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the apex. No one can do it better than the mom, right? I mean, the dad can do it too, but you know, just biologically, maternally, the dad has to do a little bit more work to do it, but he can do it. He can do it, but no one will do it better than each other, right? So if you're trying to chase a career and become successful, there is no way anybody who is a real career person will tell you It takes long hours. It takes a lot of work. And there's just no way that you can give the kid 100%. It just doesn't work. You need daycare. You need a nanny. You need something. And that won't be the optimal for the kid. The optimal is you there all the time. We just don't have a society to where that mm-hmm. is sexy. What's sexy is go make your money, go do this, mm-hmm. go do that. Mm-hmm. You do need two incomes for most part, unless mm-hmm. you get lucky and you marry somebody who's a baller,
yeah,
which is a very or small you live percentage.
In the Midwest.
You know, yeah, or move yourself again. Yeah. And so this is what I mean by conscious decisions of like, what is your goal? So if I was a girl and my goal is to get married, like I want to get married, I want to have a family young, I'm going to move to a city where that mentality is prevailing, mm. which would mean somewhere in the South, somewhere in the Midwest, to where it is normal to be like, I want to be a mom, and your neighbors aren't shitting on you for wanting to be a mom. Mm-hmm. Then you go to other cities like a New York, like an LA, like a whatever, and it's like, what? Mm. A mom? You're not mm-hmm. trying to be a model, actress, finance, this. What? It doesn't even sound normal in these cities. So then you don't want to be in a city like that because now you're working against what you really want to be. So you move yourself. You put yourself, and I always call it in the pathway of grace. You're going to put yourself in the best situation to accomplish said goal. So if you do go to the Midwest, what does that mean? Cheaper living. What does that mean? You don't have to work your ass off. You don't have to do 60 hours a week. You can do a basic job, live in a nice apartment, and use the rest of your time to what? Make yourself better as a partner. And then you go try to find, you put yourself in places where you will find a partner. What's important to you? If it's church, go to church. Somebody who's healthy, you know, your eye's in the gym and you're in the mm-hmm. gym most of the time. If it's somebody that's into outdoorsy, cool. You're joining clubs that are outdoorsy, rock climbing clubs, walker clubs, runner clubs, all these things. Because you have enough time because you're not working your ass off mm-hmm. to pay a $5,000 apartment because you live in a city where the average mm-hmm. is that much. Mm-hmm. People just don't think on that level of things. If you break it down, you're like, oh, I'm kind of doing everything against what I said I want. I'm working way too much. I'm in the most expensive city and in a city where guys are not trying to settle down. They're trying to get the hottest chick and make the most money. Why am I here? If family and love is the most important thing to me, I got to get out of here. I need to go meet a Southern gentleman who's like, yeah, girl.
Well, Danielle, this has been the hottest pitch for Nashville. If you haven't already felt.
Oh, if I was, I would have been gone to Nashville.
It's hard. It's like, I think about it all the time. And then again, with like being older, it's like, oh, I already did the big move. I already did the move and left all my friends behind and made all new friends. And I'm like, the idea of making new friends in my 30s, I think is scarier than being mm-hmm. alone. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like starting. And it's frustrating too, because it's like, I do go to church. I'm so involved and so committed in my church. And I try to leave my house as much as possible. I feel like I'm never home, even when we're home, you know, like,
yeah, you are traveling, going out and doing activities.
Yeah.
And
things. Like, I mean, the day we flew back from Reno, I went straight from the airport to an event, like, mm-hmm. and so it's, I think it's frustrating because it's like, oh, I'm doing all these things that I'm quote unquote supposed to be doing and it's not working. And so I don't know where to make the shift. And it's like, and I'm praying and I'm trying to listen to God and I'm, you know, I prayed a lot about moving. Like, that's been my biggest prayers this past couple of weeks, of just being like, hey, like, can you please make this so evident? Because I remember when I moved to LA, it was like a driving force. Like, I remember I had decided a year before I moved, the summer before I moved, summer of 2014, I was like, I need to go to LA. LA is where I'm supposed to be. I have never felt called to someplace so strongly in my entire life. And I was like, I'm going to spend this next year saving up like $10,000. And a year went by and I had $800 to my name. And I said, forget it, I'm going. And I just went. And I was like, I just knew it was going to work out. Like, there was a part of me mm-hmm. that just was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. It's going to work out. This is the biggest step of like blind faith I've ever done in my entire life. I just know that this is right. This is, like, I spent the past year so miserable. Like, I just knew Dallas was not, it's my home in the sense that that's where my family is, But even to this day, I recently even had a nightmare of you. For some reason, you were there.
Oh.
And you were trying to get me to move back to Dallas. And I was like kicking and screaming. I was like, no, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And I thought it was weird because I was like, shouldn't you be trying to get me to Nashville? I don't know. Yeah. It was weird. It was a dream, you know? And then I called my dad and I was like, how much weight do you put into dreams? Let's dissect this. And I think that's why it's hard for me to think about leaving, because the call and desire to be here was so insanely strong that I haven't felt anything since then mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. But
and
you
so
have.
I'm like
you're just,
doubting myself.
I don't know if you're placing the right. Okay, so what I hear in you is there's a call to have love, a mm-hmm. family, relationship, mm-hmm. right? So you're just misplacing that. You're trying to put the same rule that happened back then, because mm-hmm. back then you were just starting out in life, right? Mm-hmm. So the call was strong to a location.
Yeah.
Now your call is strong to a space in life, to literally a stage in life. Location doesn't matter. You're getting that same strength of a call, but mm-hmm. it just doesn't have a zip code. Mm. It's an internal thing. Mm. And what the Lord needs to, what you need to pick up on the Lord is like, now it's your job to figure out, well, where's the best place that this call that I'm having right now can actually come into fruition. Mm-hmm. If I was single, God forbid I lost Ange, I would never stay in LA to try to find a new wife. I would take my ass straight to Nashville because mm-hmm. I know damn well I'm not going to find her here.
Yeah,
I won't. The culture of the city is so, and not that you can't find good people in LA. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
I'm just saying if I was 20, I'll take the gamble because yeah. I'm like, oh, I got 10 years to find them. I can sift through the shite mm-hmm. and find someone. If I'm 35, it's like, nah, bruh. I've been here for 10 mm-hmm. years. I've seen what it's like. It is a needle in a haystack here.
Yeah,
because they're just not aligned with where I'm at mentally. So I'm going to go to wherever it is that they're aligned more to when I mm-hmm. speak out what I want. I want family. I want to settle down. Mm-hmm. I want whatever. You're going to get more amen than you're going to get. Yeah. What? That's so countercultural to mm-hmm. what we're doing here, you know? And so I think you do have that call. It's just you're trying to place it on a place. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's like, nah, bruh, it's bigger than that now. I'm trying to let you know it never was about the place. It was mm-hmm. always about what's inside of you that you're trying to get out. In your 20s, it was this idea that you wanted to accomplish this thing in this industry. Mm-hmm. So it was in and you got it out. And mm-hmm. now you've had the Lord gone. Like you've done the industry thing and you're like, now what's in my heart is this thing. Mm-hmm. And this thing doesn't have a location. There's nothing special about the location. I get to pick it. Mm-hmm. And I have the wisdom and praise God, the information out there that you don't even have to guess. You can literally Google best place to be single. I did it the other day when I was dating. And sure. Nashville showed up. Most young millionaires live in Nashville.
All right, fine, I'll move.
I think it's because a lot of New York and LA moved to Nashville.
But as I'm sitting here, like I think I had a realization literally just in the five minutes that we've been chatting about this. But I was like, I think what's so hard for me is like I do want to do that. Like that I do feel like that is like the next big thing in my life, the next big step. But it is so hard for me to let go of this. Mm-hmm. Like
what is this that you're saying?
Just working in this creative space, and I know I can keep doing this in Nashville. I know logically that. But it was like when I was in Dallas, it was like, oh, I can only do this in LA. Like I can, this is something that I have loved since I was 9 years old. 9 years old, I knew it was like entertainment. And I was so desperate to do anything. I was like, I will be in the mailroom. I will be somebody's lackey. Like I was like, please, I just want to like touch the coat of somebody in entertainment. Like that's mm-hmm. all I want in life. And so it's like, oh, I did it. I caught it. I had so many years. And so it's like to think to reach my next goal feels like I'm giving up on another one. And I know that's not true. That doesn't make any sense. Like it doesn't make any sense. But I think it's hard for me to get over that, like, I don't know, emotional barrier maybe or something, but Because I know it's like, I've had this chat with Anne before where I told her, I was like, look, I was like, even if I get married and have babies, like, I don't want to stop this. Like, I don't want to stop being creative and pursuing and writing. And I like, I love writing more than anything in my entire life. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if it's just because of the American culture or just this idea that you have to like do one thing and you can't do multiple things. And so I'm like, I'm trying to do multiple things, but not being successful in any of it. Like, I mean, I am successful in some of it, but yeah, I don't know. I think there's part of me that knows that I have to like let go of stuff. And I'm just, I don't know. It's difficult to like think about letting go and like starting over or like, but it's like, I want it at the same time. I'm like battling with myself. I'm having this like internal fight with.
Well, I think it's like,
I have thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's, and I've told you, this, what is it? Parable before, but I'll say it again for anybody listening. There's that story of, this little girl who her dad gave her this fake pearl necklace, and it was her favorite necklace, and she would wear it every day. I'd wear it to sleep. She loved her pearl necklace. And one day her dad asked for it back, and she was like, no, this is my favorite necklace. And he's like, okay, didn't press it or anything, just like, okay, that's fine. And then he'd asked her again for the necklace back. Can daddy have it? And she was like, no, this is mine. You gave it to me. This is my favorite necklace and I love it. And, okay, fine. And finally the dad asked her again and was like, can I have your necklace? And finally with tears, she's like, okay, here, you can have my necklace. It's my favorite one. I love it so much, but fine, you can have it back. And he said, thank you. And then he finally gave her the real pearl necklace. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've been waiting to give you this. You just had to give me this back. Mm-hmm. And it's like these seasons of this is what you needed in this season. This is what made you happy in this season. And it got you to this place. And then now it's time for something else, something new, something even more special and even more exciting. But we have to let go, and letting go is the hardest part.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about, I have a hard time letting go of all the sweaters in my closet right now. I have too much stuff in my closet. But letting go is very hard. But also I wanted to say, it is okay to grieve the thing that you're letting go of. It doesn't mean you're wrong. I'm making a bad choice because I'm grieving, because I'm sad, because it doesn't feel right. No, it's okay to grieve what once was. So for instance, when I was becoming a mom, and I was doing stand-up, I had my last show before I was coming off the road for maternity leave. I did my last show and I was very emotional about it because I said, this is my last show as this version of me. Mm-hmm. I've never been anything other than this version of me. And the next time I come back to stand-up, come back to this craft, I'm going to be a mom, mm-hmm. a whole different version of me. This something different is going to click. So I'm going to be different. And I was grieving single Ange, who in my first hour specials, I talked about the way guys hit on me. I was grieving young, I just got married Ange. We don't want kids. These are all the jokes I'm talking about now. All of these things that I pride myself on, that who I was, this made me, this is my identity. For so long, this version of me got me to where I am. She was great. I love this version of me. And now I'm saying goodbye to her. And I am so sad. But at the same time, I've become this version of me that I'm so proud of and so grateful for and so happy about. But it was still okay to grieve letting go of that version of me. And I think in the season that you're in, you know you can still do things in entertainment. It'll just look differently. And you have to let go of this dream that you had, that you wanted. You touched the coat and you got here and you've had great experiences and adventures. And it's okay to grieve that season and say, okay, this season is done. But what is the next season? What is it?
And first of all, I love it whenever you tell stories and speak. I love you so much.
Me too.
I think it's,
I love when you tell stories. Also, I disagree.
No, I don't. I don't.
No.
Okay, well, I kind of disagree. But not in the way that you think. Not in the way that you think.
It's different.
Because I don't think, I think you guys are framing it that way. It feels that way because you guys are obviously emotional and whatever. Okay, so as a guy, I'm looking at it like you, what Black you're white, only letting
numbers,
go of.
Stats.
Well, it's because you're only letting go of an apartment.
No, it's more than that.
No. Because here's what I mean. This is what I mean by when you break it down in a logical sense, right? In a logical sense, when I said before, is that no decision is permanent. Mm-hmm. No decision is permanent. Mm-hmm. You can literally be like in Nashville for a month and be like, I hate it. I'm going back to LA. The only thing that you let go of was an apartment. Now you just got to find a new apartment. That's it. You don't have to let go of a dream until the new dream comes, because nothing is permanent. There's nothing for you to stay in Nashville and then keep open feelers out in LA. And if something happens, cool, I'm back in LA and I'm Airbnb-ing for a week. And do you know what I'm saying? Like when you think of a logical way, because it makes this big move a lot smaller. It makes this big quote unquote change in life a lot smaller. I don't really have to let go of this dream. I'm just living in Nashville. If anything pops off, I'm back. I just got to find a new apartment. Or if anything pops off, fuck, I'm back in an Airbnb.
The great thing about this is the difference between men and women and how men are more logical and women are more emotional. And this whole grieving process, letting go process is essential, is very important.
I agree.
But what I'm saying
is the timing. You're putting the cart before the horse as far as the, like you're saying, if you move, you need to grieve this thing. I'm saying, sure, you may have to grieve this thing at one point if it is replaced with a new dream, i.e. you got pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. So you had to replace your old with the new because something new came into your life. She can move to Nashville for a year and love it. Right? Because
Sir,
new things.
Bleep your F.
Sorry. She could love it because new things are coming into her life, which then is going to confront the old her. Right? So if it's a boyfriend, if it's whatever, something awesome that happens over there, now it's like, oh my God, I love Nashville. Why do I love Nashville? This new opportunity happened. Or, oh my God, I just met this man. Then it's like, well, I'm not going to go back to LA. I have this guy that's very important to me. Then it's like, oh my God, he lives in Nashville. LA, I'm not going, I can't go back there. This is serious. Now you can grieve LA and the dream and all that. Putting it before the horse makes it way more dramatic as opposed to be like, I'll give it a year. Let's see what happens. I'm 35. I can go over there. At worst, I'm just losing my Burbank apartment, but all good. This will be a time where if it doesn't work there, then I will move to the West Side with all my friends. No harm, no foul. I tried it out. That's way less stressful than, oh my God, I got to grieve this thing, which hasn't even been replaced with a new thing. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is the dream is still alive. LA is still alive. I'll give Nashville a year. I'll know in 3 months whether I'm rocking with Nashville. I'll feel it. We all do when we get to a new city. We meet people. We find a new church. You know, travel becomes easier. Finances become a little bit easier. And you immediately feel like, all right, I got my grocery store. I got my whatever. I got my church. I met some new people, whatever. And you'll immediately, 3 to 6 months, you'll know, I really like this place. We didn't grieve LA till what? We were in Nashville so many times that we were like, are we Nashville people now? We didn't like set out to Nashville and be like, F LA. It was like one day we were like, babe, do you want to go back to LA? No, me either. Because it got replaced with something new. So we didn't have to have that hard line, that burn the ships type of thing. And that's why I encourage you, don't do it. The most you're letting go of is an apartment. You head to LA for a year. And you just see if you vibe with it. And if all the good things come, if you're just like, damn, I met a dude. Now grieving this thing is not really grieving. It's going to be like, oh, I guess I'm not an LA person. We didn't grieve LA. We were like, I guess we're not LA people no more. And then when people ask us, do you miss LA? There's no, oh man, I kind of miss it. It's like, no, we do not. We like the summers because we have a pool over there and it's less humid, but we're Nashville people now. So there was no need to freaking do the burial because there was no stress of that. So that's why I'm encouraging you. It's all about how you frame things. LA, Nashville will be a fun year journey. Let's see what happens. Let's roll the dice. I let go of this apartment. All good.
So you have two choices. You can do that way or this way. You pick.
Yeah, one's just way more traumatic. Yeah. Why the hell would you do that to yourself?
Listen, that's how one is a natural process that you're already going to be necessary. Doing and going through. It's but again, not... the difference between men and women, emotional being.
But do you see how one makes more sense?
Listen, you can approach life through statistics and numbers. Listen, I've already actual emotions you feel every day.
I have a decent analytical brain. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand the logic behind most things. It's that often my emotions do get in the way, and I'm a very emotion forward, like, everyone always knows what I'm thinking, like, it's very obvious where I'm at emotionally. But it's, and I'm like, I get it, I understand that. I'm like, just give me 3 to 5 business days to process.
Also, oh, man, I would process. Like to I would like to also add, there are things that I do miss about LA, because there was a very staunch, we don't love LA. Blah, blah, blah.
No, going, excuse me.
I'm only going off of like the 3 times this past week somebody's asked you, do you miss LA? And you said
and
no.
And I didn't have this attitude of it. No, but
you said no. And the point of it was not staunchness.
Well, I actually was in the middle of a sentence before you started talking again. So what I was saying was, I do grieve some things about LA. One, the food. We have great food in Nashville, but here in LA,
the opportunities.
There are so many different restaurants, types of food, different vibes. I mean, my brother and I right now are doing our own little food tour for these little like Instagram places that we keep finding. We've had a couple of misses, but we've had some good hits. And like, I love that the different area. There's something about the diversity that I love. So there's definitely things about LA that I love that Nashville does not have. And I miss those things and I love those things. But overall, yes, I feel more peace.
I didn't mean like. Okay, look, when we say grieve, right? That's usually denotes like something that was really important to us, right? We've never been people who are like, oh my God, we're such foodies. And if we go to a city, if they don't have food, we're not there. That has never been a part of our decision making.
But also, we come back.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So like, that's like a false equivalency, right? And we've never been type of people that's like, walk into a place and the first thing we clock is, are we the only brown people here? We don't think like that.
No.
Grieving of diversity.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, are we the only brown people? That's not what it is. I'm saying I love to drive down the street and I see Black, Asian, White, Armenian, blah, 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 yes. In excess. Mm. Not just...
I understand what you're saying.
There is a Latino person.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm just saying. I love to look around and it's like the sand.
I understand. Like you have a preference, right? I'm strictly speaking of when we use the terminology of like, I'm grieving something. That usually denotes that there was something that held a very strong position in your heart. So for her, she will be grieving a dream that she's had since she was 9. Mm. We do not hold what you are saying that strongly in our hearts.
Yeah.
Those are cool things. Like, it's fun. I love it when I go back to Orlando and I see so many Puerto Ricans. I'm always like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Mm-hmm. As soon as I hear the dialect, I'm like, I'm back home. Right? But yeah. I never make a decision on how many Puerto Ricans are in Nashville, how many Puerto Ricans are in LA, how many Puerto Ricans, because it's not a core thing to us. We grieve those things that are core, that will alter our way of being.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. diversity and food isn't that.
Yeah,
what,
yeah.
what our core thing would be is safety, right? How it, when we like, do we feel at home? Do we have a community that feels safe, that we feel like, man, we can breathe here? Like, those are the core things that we've always cared about that we constantly mention.
Yeah,
so
I think
that's all I'm saying.
I am more equivalent grieving for me was leaving my house in the hills. I grieved.
Yes.
That.
But that was attached to something.
Yeah, that was attached to a dream, like you being attached to a dream coming here and you're calling and you're this and you're I visualize it. I see it and woo, woo, woo. Mm-hmm. There was so much that I had attached to that house. So leaving that house was more than just selling a house and moving on. For
and
me,
part of it was your identity.
That that was tied to my dreams, tied to what am I letting go of? So I would link that more to what.
Yeah, but do you see, but that was tied to your actual identity. Because remember we had that conversation. It felt good when people came to our house. Remember we had that conversation that us living in that house made us feel like we made it.
But there
like
was
we
also
have made it.
Yeah.
The Jonas Brothers lives in the neighborhood right across from us.
Yeah.
Like we are here.
Yeah.
And so there was a feeling of, cause I remember you saying it.
And I get
like,
that.
Even though I, you know, whenever I didn't get the role or I didn't get the whatever, we still drove back to this house that's in the right neighborhood up in the hills. And if you're looking at us, you're like, we've made it. It's the same thing I felt when I wasn't signed anymore. And I kept buying clothes. I kept buying expensive stuff in my expensive cars. And I was driving to the Grove to go watch a movie and my outfit was $10,000. And I was just like, so like, look at me, I'm important. But in reality, it was like, I am dressed up with nowhere to go.
Right. Now, taking it back to what you said, so I can, because that was a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. But when I say tied to my identity and my dreams, I had journals. We already talked about me journaling and photo evidence of me driving to the hills, looking at the view. And I would pray over the city. I would pray over my life. I would dream. And then I had this home where all of a sudden I'm on my balcony and I'm looking over the same view. And now I live here and now this is my home. And so it's more than just people look at me and I'm in the right neighborhood. No. That's not for me.
I literally said there was a piece.
I'm just saying this for me was my dream and things that I journaled about. Yeah. It was something that I'm like, oh, this came to fruition in a way I never expected and imagined. And now I have to let it go.
Yeah.
I'm letting go of my dream.
This is what we call the communication error between men and female. Okay. Because I literally led with a piece of that was your identity. And you have to come back with, it was more this. I said a piece of it was identity.
Listen.
No, baby, that's what I said.
All right.
Because then I would have had to say the bigger part or the most important thing was that you were tied up into that house. Yeah. It was your entire identity.
Okay.
I did not say that. I said a piece of it because we had a conversation of it. A small piece of it was that we kind of felt dope.
Yeah.
Living in a big house in a nice neighborhood in the hills. Like,
I mean, I
if
like,
we were honest with it.
I get it. Like, I fully am sitting here processing and thinking. I have journals that date back literally to the summer before I moved, where I started really keeping track of everything. And I do know I have entries. There was part of me too, when I moved to LA, I was like, I won't fail. I won't be one of those people that moves to LA and then has to move back home after 6 months. And so I do think there's still a part of me that thinks like when I leave LA, my brain's like, well, you failed.
Mm-hmm.
Cause now you're moving, but I'm like, oh, it's been 10 years. I'm like, logically again, I'm like, you didn't fail. Like you didn't.
And there's so many things that you have to confront. Like when I became Nashville, these are like, tell on yourself. Like it's okay to tell on yourself. Mm-hmm. I do feel a little whack having a house in Van Nuys compared to a house in the hills in Sherman Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel a little less cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not. I know financially it was the best move, but the ego, Yeah. I do have to die a little bit when I drive to Van Nuys as opposed to my nice drive to Sherman Oaks. And I do have to die a little bit when I pull out my ID card and it says Tennessee. I used to feel way more cool when I told people, oh, yeah, I'm from L.A. Yeah. I have an L.A. driver's license. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt cooler being from L.A. I feel like most of the deaths in that thing, in this transition, was primarily all my ego deaths.
Yeah. Like, that was... I mean, I do think, too, like, going back to the whole identity thing, it was like, I do think that is such part of my identity, especially when I go home to Texas, is it's like, I'm the girl that got out. I'm the girl that made it to L.A., like... There's so many people that I went to high school that left, went to the big cities, and then moved back home. Like, everyone is back in Dallas. And so it's like, part of me is like, well, that's my persona. I'm like, I can't leave because then I'm not the girl who made it out, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's not like anybody actually cares.
No.
They don't care. And I feel like they would be just as excited for me if I was to move or something. They'd be like, you know, but those things, I know people are being nice. Like, I know, like, even on one of my latest Instagram posts, a girl that I used to work in retail with was like, literally commented and was like, you did it, you made it out, you win. And I was like, I gotta keep doing it, for the fans, you know. And so
my fans are counting on me,
and I mean, but it is crazy. Like, we worked in the mall together, so it's like, I do agree with the part of me that's like, oh, my identity is totally wrapped up in living in LA.
Yeah.
I live in LA. Mm-hmm. But I am someone, though, when I'm in a different state and I hand my California license, I'm embarrassed. I'm like, I'm from Texas. I'm so sorry about that, actually.
I used to think it was so cool with the California license.
But to me, too, I think the biggest hurdle for me is people. I'm always a people person. I care about the people in my life. And having this job and traveling, I'm like, I'll have fun no matter where I'm at. I can be in any city and I'll make it work for me. It's the people that I'll struggle, like, I'll feel like I'm like leaving behind or something. But there's definitely, the whole, I'm just sitting here thinking about all, I'm like, oh yeah, my identity is totally tied up in this LA version of myself or whatever. And
I think give yourself a hard time, like a hard date, and nothing will move that date. And you just go. On the other side of everything fearful is this, obviously a new experience with bravery. But then on the other side, it's like, you just find out everything that you were scared of. You find out the truth of it. Is it what I thought it was, or is it not? I've had to do it with my stomach. That's really like how my stomach has been such a guiding force, because I have a weak stomach. And I base every trip. Right now, I still haven't booked a hotel in Paris because I'm still like, oh my God, it's going to be a 35-minute drive. It's going to be a 40-minute drive. This is going to suck. But and this is like me telling myself again, I booked the ticket. I booked the flight before I got the hotel. Why? Because I committed myself. Mm-hmm. And even though it's lingering, the hotel is lingering because I'm scared of the drive into the city. I'm like, I booked the ticket so that I can't back out. So it's the equivalent of you saying, you know what, I'm moving to Nashville November 25th, and you go buy your plane ticket, and it's bought, and it's there staring you in the face all the time, and you book your car to be shipped November 25th. Nothing is stopping this. These things are booked. I'm going. And I'm going to feel all the emotions up until November 25th, but it's not changing it. Flight is booked. Car is booked. I'm gone. And you just deal with everything, and you take off. And when you land, you're gonna be on the other side of fear. And it either is gonna be everything you were afraid of, or it's gonna be nothing that you were afraid of. And you're gonna find out quickly. And that's when you just pivot and make your move, or you settle in and you're like, damn, I'm so glad I made this decision. It changed my life. There's only good. Because then you get it out of your way, you get out of your system, and you move back to LA, and you're like, all right, that's out of my system. Mm-hmm. I'm an LA girl, and I don't have to like flirt with the idea anymore. But most people who decide or who are lingering with the idea of like getting out, it's usually because the time is up. The time is up here. I mean, look at Penelope. I can never leave. And I was like, yeah, right. You meet the right person and everything changes. Everything just feels like, well, what am I holding on to? A 650 square foot, you know, ADU and being by myself and not having a support, just being there for everyone else.
I think I'm like, I think I'm like holding on to the dream that I made for myself. Cause my thought was like, well, I'll move when I meet somebody, obviously. But now I do feel like it's, he's saying, oh, it's the other way around. And it's, I mean, it is, I also, just real therapy session over here, but I also was thinking back to like the amount of prayers I've had too, where I've fully, I have fully in my like cries to God been like, I'll give it all up. Like, I'll give it all up just to be loved.
Oh no.
And now I feel like he's going, bet. Like, you said it. You said it first. Yeah. Like, and so now I'm going, oh, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. Everything? Wait. Like, and it's, and I feel like I'm now, I'm just, now I'm like coming to that realization, or I'm reaching that point where God's literally like, all right, follow through, baby girl, you know?
But the wild thing in that scenario is God's not even the one asking you to do it. He's just literally like asking you for your opinion. God's like, you prayed this for you. How much did you mean it? Not for me. Because he's up there like, girl, you live in L.A.? I love you. All good. No worries. Yeah. You live in Nashville? Still love you.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong. It's more so, you said this for yourself. Now, how bad do you want whatever it is that you said? Because either way, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to love you. You getting a husband or whatever, whatever it is not going to like make God love you more.
Sure.
It's more so, okay, so you set this gauntlet down for yourself. How much did you mean it for yourself? Yeah. And then you kind of like, if you balk on it, then you're like, well, it's not God that didn't want me to go. It's more so me. I didn't want to go, or I was too afraid, or I was too whatever. But if I'm about it, I'm going to go just to prove myself wrong or right. And it's, those are the wrong words to use. Just to prove myself, like to give myself a new adventure, to give myself a new shot at this thing that I say that I want. And it should be fun. It should be utter fun for you, because there's nothing more fun than being single and like trying some stuff just to like,
I mean, it is fun.
Switch,
I mean,
it up. It
is, I've always been, there's a reason I've never had a 9-to-5 corporate job ever in my life, because I'll do a job for 3 months and then I'm like, okay, what's next? Like, this is the longest job I've ever had, but it's exciting. It's new. It's the only reason is because it's different. And so it's, I've always been someone where I'm like, okay, I'm ready for the next great adventure.
And it's wild that you came to Cali with $800. You're going to another city with a full-on job. You're not going there looking for a job like most people, where they're like, oh man, I gotta hit the ground trying to pound the pavement. You have a full-time job that you're like, I'm going there with an income. I can literally pick whatever the apartment that I want. This is gonna be way less stressful than moving to California, because I don't have
to sleep on someone's floor.
Yeah, and you have security. You are like, oh, I can just bounce. I can Airbnb for a month just to see what part of the neighborhood I want. I can hop neighborhoods and just Airbnb for the first 3 months and just see what you can literally do anything, and it should all be fun. It should be just this whirlwind of like, this is gonna be awesome. I don't know. It gets me excited. Obviously, I can't do it, but
I know. Well, we've been talking about it for almost 2 hours now. So
yeah, this is wild.
Wrap it up.
Probably. Well, happy birthday to both of you in this Manny Danielle episode. Are you all right? We're going to get new chairs. Yeah, they're not the most comfortable. We're going to get new chairs.
Is that the chair that I said has the thing in the middle? See?
Yeah, we're going to get new chairs.
Believe me.
Okay, we're getting new chairs. It's fine. We're getting new chairs, everyone.
We'll throw these out.
And we'll get some artwork eventually.
They can't see that, baby. They crop in.
Okay. Well, you can't see it, but there's just nothing on the wall.
I love this episode because this does feel like therapy. And again, I always love watching you talk anytime you have something to say. Because this is just another one of those things where I feel like you're so smart. You're so wise. Why are you laughing?
I don't know. I'm
like being so serious. I love it when you talk.
Thanks, lover.
And you share what's in your heart and you speak to people. I think it's so dope because I think you have so much to offer. which is why I'm glad you do this podcast.
Thanks, Laura.
So, yeah. And honestly, for my birthday, there's nothing more. I don't even like talking about myself. So I'm glad that it turned into like sussing out your stuff. And,
glad to be of service.
It's nothing. I like more so helping people find their thing than it's me finding my thing. My thing I find in the darkness and by myself in a little room.
Well,
yeah.
Thank verbal, you for joining us.
Verbal processor over here.
This has been a great episode. Everybody listening, I hope you've taken something from this episode that you can be like, huh, that makes me think about this, or I'm going to send this to so-and-so because that makes me think about this for them.
I hope for my birthday that you do, if you're listening and you're contemplating a big move, that something that was said will give you the courage to just do it, and that you message us and say, I did it.
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
Yeah, let us know.
I just keep thinking about Penn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You haven't been over there, but the house is, her world is just light and joyous. Mm-hmm. And even Elijah just, look at my room, Tio Manuel, and I got my set up, and, you know, and knowing that there's a good dude. And I'm just like, you see, on the other side of fear, just like, this is why the Lord tells us not to follow fear.
Yeah.
But
anyways, amen.
Hopefully somebody does do that and then you message us.
Yes. Well, the irony is I was struggling with this, but I would always, I'd be like, do it. Cause that's what I did initially. So and if anyone's like, should I go? I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
And they're like, what about you? And I go, we're not talking about me. Talking about you.
I always tell people make that time commitment. And if you don't go, don't ever talk to me about it again.
Yeah.
Like what I told Pedro and Jesse, I said 6 months. If you don't move to LA in 6 months, don't bring it up to me. I'm dead serious. Do not talk to me about it. Because I won't believe anything you have to say. You either do it or you don't. Mm-hmm. 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's it. And in 6 months, they were in LA.
I mean, that's how I was. I gave myself a year and I wasn't where I was financially in a year. But I said, it's a year. I got to go. Mm-hmm. I got to get out of here.
Ricky did that too when he moved to LA. He's like, 1 year. He's a teacher in Orlando. Mm-hmm. He's like, I got to save 10 grand. 1 year, I'm out. And he saved 10 grand 1 year and he came out here and spent every one of those 10 grand for the year trying to find work. But he did it in his small little West Hollywood apartment. I was so proud of him. So proud of him.
I forget how much I think I came out here with $1,200. I think it was $1,200 for my calendar signings.
I came out here with, I mean, I have more than that, but I came out here with nothing, just a bank account and nothing when I married you.
Yep.
Living in that dang apartment.
Follow your dreams, everyone. Go. If you don't have a dream, start there.
And there's no actual real amount of money you could save.
No, for security. I mean, there is statistically, but emotionally, not so much.
But I personally have proven that wrong. So
thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.